The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and we're just in the aftermath of a Cowboys 24-6 win at home over Detroit. Ed Werder and I in the Jim and Sally Nation suite on the silver level here at AT&T Stadium. And Ed, good to be with you. You've been out here since early this morning. I got to hear some reports as I was driving out to be at the game today. We were both in the press box. It was great to see you. But an odd first half, I'd have to say. We wondered what Dak would look like in his return. And there was a smattering of boos as the team left at halftime as the Cowboys trailed 6-3 in this game.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that they continue to have such a hard time scoring. You know, coming into this game, they were the third worst team in the league scoring points at home. They're averaging 16 points a game. Now, I recognize two of those games were Cooper Rush, and one was the opener, Dak Prescott putting 19 points on the board against Tampa Bay in that loss in which he was injured. And so coming back today, you know, I think you slide the grading scale a little bit. I thought for the most part, he looked like he threw a good ball. There were some throws that Cooper Rush certainly couldn't make, like the one under pressure out of the pocket, throws it into, you know, double coverage to CeeDee Lamb for a nice catch. There were a couple balls he could have been intercepted on, two that I can think of, where I think by his own admission after the game, they were arrogant throws. And I think one of the interesting things after the game was him talking about watching this team when he was sidelined and getting a sense for what kind of team it was, how dominant it was in special teams with Kevontae Turpin, how dominant it is every week on defense, creating pressures and turnovers and sacks, and how it doesn't need Dak Prescott to be a statistical marvel anymore. Like, it more needs him to play like he did when he was a rookie almost.
Yeah.
Where he was a secondary figure in the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs to emphasize, you know, making good decisions, not putting the ball in jeopardy, you know, being willing to play the field position game, complimentary football, like Mike McCarthy's talked about. But yeah, I think there was some impatience at halftime just because, you know, they got down to the five and Noah Brown fumbled. I mean, both teams had turnovers inside the 5-yard line today. Jamal Williams' fumble was far more detrimental to his team than the Noah Brown fumble was. But I just think, you know, when you look at it overall, Matt, I mean, they had five turnover takeaways in the second half. They weren't all short field turnovers, you know, creating short fields for the offense. They had a 52-yard punt return from Kevontae Turpin, and they struggled to score 24 points, which is the most they've scored all year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that works its way out, you know, out as Dak evolves and stays in the offense for, you know, obviously they hope the rest of the season. We'll see. But you would expect them to make progress, and they really need to get started on that.
All right, we're going to get started with the Doomsday Podcast, and happy to be with you from AT&T Stadium. Frito, please play the music. All right, we will have Glenn Stretch Smith and his stretch plays later in the program. We'll also hear from Jerry Jones, and this was in talking about that one, and I think what you said is a good place to start. It was detrimental, far more detrimental, what happened with Detroit. They were missing their really good running back, their probably best player on the team, DeAndre Swift, the running back, missed this game. When he's healthy, he is a weapon. And
And they lost their best receiver during the game in the first quarter to a concussion.
Yeah, he went out with a concussion. He's a very good player. But, I mean, I got to look at that play that Detroit Cowboys are up 10-6, and Detroit's going in there, and Ed, to our spot, from our spot in the press box, it absolutely looked like Hockenson, the tight end for Detroit, got into the end zone. I thought he, you know, hit the pylon. It was gonna, they were gonna, and the refs talked about it. The officials talked about it, and they marked him at the one. First of all, were you surprised that they didn't challenge that? That Dan Campbell, the Lions coach who we used to cover when he was the Cowboys player, that wasn't challenged.
It seemed like an obvious situation to challenge the play to me, given the circumstances of the game, and given that, like you said, he hit the pylon. If they had ruled it a touchdown, there would have been an automatic review, obviously, but they ruled him short, which, by the way, let's give credit to Micah Parsons for that play.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons chased that play down relentlessly and made the tackle when I think most people probably would have given up and allowed his opponent to score in that situation. He did not. He brought him down. And yeah, I thought for certain he had scored. And watching the replays, I'm still not 100% sure he didn't score. So yeah, I am surprised that Dan Campbell wasn't willing to risk a timeout in exchange for potentially getting a touchdown. I think he just assumed, we're on the 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. We got four cracks at this. We're going to get it in. And then Jamal Williams, who, by the way, has never lost a fumble in his career, loses a fumble on the 1 yard line on the very next play.
Yeah. And I think, DeMarcus Lawrence has been credited for causing that fumble, but I'm not
certainly
sure.
Celebrated like he was responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've looked at it a few times.
I know Anthony Barr recovered it.
Yeah. Anthony Barr did recover it. And the Cowboys took over from there and ended up having to punt. Wasn't that on that particular drive, they ended up having to punt. I mean, there was a lot of punting today and going back to what we talked about off the top, to be in a 6-3 game, and boy, look across the league today, you know, remember when we thought Tom Brady and the Bucks, and they beat, I mean, it just tells you how quickly things can change. They beat the Cowboys 19-3. We thought all hope was lost for the Cowboys. Cowboys sitting there 5-2 today in pretty good shape, and the Bucks lose 21-3. To a Panthers team.
Panthers team that's the only team in the NFL has fired its coach and the only team that's traded its best player 24 hours ago. And they lose by, 18 points to that team?
Yeah.
To the Carolina Panthers? That's hard to imagine that Tom Brady, that could happen to a Tom Brady-led team. And then
you don't think he's getting old, do you?
Look at Green Bay. They lost to Washington, right? So the team's quarterback by Aaron Rodgers every week and Tom Brady every week are 3-4. And the Cowboys, who have only had Dak Prescott for 2 weeks, are 5-2.
Yeah. You know, I find it fascinating that even Dak's going back to saying, hey, I might have been a little overconfident. I was feeling too good. I need to rein myself in to a certain extent. I mean, that offense was not really generating anything. A couple of 3-and-outs to start the game. Not much movement. They get down there, and Noah Brown has the fumble, gets hit pretty hard, and as he's coming down,
he got flipped.
Ball comes out of there, gets flipped. This is going to be interesting. A team that, while we do agree, it's a really good defensive team. Now, let's not act like the Lions are any kind of juggernaut. But anytime you hold another NFL team to 6 points. You got to feel
pretty
good
about
things.
Well, they do average 34 points a game. They got shut out before the bye week by the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
But they did score. They scored points against the Eagles. The Cowboys didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I think you want more when you have your starting quarterback and you get 5 turnovers, you get a long punt return, and you're playing against an opponent that gives up 34 points a game.
Yeah.
And is the worst defensive team in Lions history, and that's quite a statement. Think about what I just said, the worst defensive team in Lions history. And
saying something.
You only get your 24th point,
your
third touchdown, you know, in the final minute and a half of the game.
Isn't it funny that because of the way that game happened and you knew Dak was coming back, the Eagles' loss didn't feel that bad. It felt like, okay, I mean, I think you can take, there's some pride you can take in that, and you're okay. And now you win 24-6, and that doesn't feel that great. You know, it's like, but they've improved to 5-2. In the overall scheme of things, things are moving. Now, from a really good standpoint, all those turnovers that were caused, the takeaways, I mean, we talked so much about Micah Parsons, and he did run down some plays, showed
strip sack,
his athleticism, strip sack. But today was kind of a Sam Williams day, a rookie pick that came out of, what, Ole Miss? And, I mean,
had some off-the-field issues.
Had some issues.
Kind of a red flag guy. Yeah. But the Cowboys loved him as a potential pass rusher.
And has had some moments where he's been penalized this season, and you kind of wondered, okay, where is he today? I mean, tremendous game for him. And then to come in and just it's almost embarrassing for an established NFL quarterback to have somebody come in and just like take a ball away from him when he's not looking. Like, hey, just give me that. I mean, that's a good play. And it really
he did have the questionable move when he picked up the running back, turned him upside down, and threw him in the ground. Kind of a pile driver.
Is that like
do that to a quarterback and you're an NFL penitentiary?
You never play again.
6 to 8 years. But you can do anything you want to the rest of the guys. Just don't hurt the quarterbacks.
Pick them up.
Turn them upside
slam
down.
Slam the guy into the turf. And everybody's like, oh, we're good with
no
that.
No flags, yeah.
That's kind of a fun play. But, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know in talking to Dan Quinn after they drafted Sam Williams that they thought he had some Micah Parsons traits. I don't think he's quite as fast as Micah Parsons or as quick or versatile as Micah Parsons, but he looks like he's got some real ability to rush off the edge, which is what he did in college.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and he's getting more and more playing time, and Dan Quinn is not going to run out of pass rushers.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And so that's looking good. And then a couple of negatives that come out of this game. Jordan Lewis has a very nice interception and basically picks it up right off the carpet. In fact, you know, he kind of wanted to look at that and go, did he really get that? He made a great play and he injures lower leg injury, looked like a foot, some part of his foot, but that looked pretty bad. So he's a good, you know, that's an extremely useful player for the Cowboys. So that could be a while for him.
But they have, you know, Deron Bland. Remember, he came in and made a start early in the year and played exceptionally well, a bigger corner than Jordan Lewis. But yeah, Lewis is a good player. Anthony Brown's a good player. Diggs got his third interception of the season. Kind of got the offense turned around, gave him an opportunity early in the second half, and they kind of created a functional running game and went and ran down the field. And then Zeke got the first of his two. I told him after the game when I interviewed him, those are Emmitt Smith touchdown runs, 1 yard plunges. One, you know, there's no art to that. Like Emmitt had 450 of those, I think.
But you know, I like that. I got to say for Zeke, Pollard really had. This running game is kind of nice in the sense that I think the Cowboys are kind of become comfortable with a real 1-2 punch that everybody's kind of, you know, and they're not going to like turn Pollard into the bell cow, but it at least there has been a subtle change. They're kind of fine with Pollard being the leading rusher and nobody freaks out about it. And I think that's a great thing for the Cowboys that nobody's like, oh my gosh, Pollard is the lead back. I don't think they really care. It's like Pollard is faster. Pollard's better able to rip off large runs. And so he's going to get to 70 or 80 yards a lot quicker than Zeke is. Now, Zeke gets injured, gets a little scary because the helmet on his knee. And then also a hyperextension to the tight end. And Dalton Schultz was able to come in. But yeah, looked like he got hit kind of right on his leg. And he's able to come back even to the point in the second half where he hurdles a player, which is something he was doing early in his career.
Dak had said he had seen him kind of set that up in practice during the week and said, I kind of saw him jumping a guy at some point this week. And sure enough, there he goes. And it was in that drive to start the second half.
Yeah.
Where they went down and took their first lead on his touchdown run. He had that run, then Pollard had a long run, and then finally Zeke put it in the end zone. And the Cowboys had a lead that they would never surrender at that point.
You know, you were kind of angling as we sit here. And by the way, they're doing stuff behind us.
That's a blower. They're always a blower. Noise.
at the stadium.
If you come here and do TV or go to any NFL stadium and do TV, you will find
crazy
out
stuff. Yeah.
Just how capable they are of creating noise around you.
Uh-huh. That always happens. And we are in for Jim and Sally Nation's beautiful suite up here on the silver level.
We're picking chicken wings out of the trash can. They forgot to leave them for us.
It wasn't the nation's decision. I think the people who cleaned up went ahead and threw all the food away. So we weren't up here quickly enough to capitalize on some of the food, the empanadas and all the great food that they have in the suites. But we are very grateful for the nations. And by the way, Marable Holmes, I'm hearing people even from the Cowboys, Ed, are saying, like, what's this Marable Holmes about that Mosley and Warder are talking about? It's really standing out, and just so thankful. Blake Marable, Amy Marable, his wife, Marable Holmes, incredible luxury homes in the Lake Highlands area. And I see these things going up all the time, and I mean, they're gorgeous. And what's happening is other parts of Dallas, whether it be Preston Hollow, Highland Park, or whatever, is like, how can we get Marable Homes over in our neighborhood? And I kind of like, I want Blake to say, no, just Lake Highlands, just keep it right over here with us. Yeah. But Marable Homes has been an incredible partner with us, and we are so appreciative. Now, back to it, Ed. You were kind of making a point with Dak about, and at first I was like, what's Ed going for here? Because you were asking about, you know, is this form of what you're doing as opposed to winning a game by you throwing 300 or 400 yards? Do you almost enjoy this more, or something along those lines? And it led to him saying something kind of interesting. And I have a hard time believing a quarterback saying this, especially an NFL quarterback, but I did find it interesting. He said something along the lines of he almost didn't want that last touchdown pass to Hendershot. Which, by the way, the TV, the network had like the wrong name up there. They didn't even know it was Hendershot.
That was Ferguson, Jake Ferguson. Uh-huh.
No, they had, it wasn't even Ferguson. They had like somebody that I don't even think placed the Cowboys
Bjornsson
anymore. Whatever they flashed across the screen, I was like, that's not who this is. This is Hendershot. And they tried to credit somebody else. But Dak almost kind of said, I kind of wanted to win this game without that touchdown pass. And again, is he being totally, maybe, I don't know, but I do think he's kind of leaning into what the Cowboys are saying. And if you believe Mike McCarthy, he sort of came into the season telling Kellen Moore, even before Dak was hurt, this is how I want to win
football
games.
It's going to be a defensive-oriented team, which is quite a statement for Mike McCarthy to make. I mean, he has said, but you know, he spent 13 years in Green Bay. He comes from the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he coached, you know, Joe Montana in Kansas City. He's had Brett Favre and he's had Aaron Rodgers. He's an offensive guy. And for him to recognize that this is a team that needs to win with defense, especially considering you're coming off a season where you just led the NFL in points in scoring and in total yardage. That's quite a thing to recognize. Oh my God, even though we're the number one offense, our defense is even better. We should lean to that. And they're fortunate that they did, given that they lost their quarterback in week one for 5 weeks. But I think what Dak was saying was, I almost didn't want to throw that touchdown pass because it was going to bring attention to me. And the attention shouldn't be on me. The attention should be on the defense and the special teams. What do you say? Kevontae Turpin. I don't even know why guys kick to us. If teams kick to us anymore. And he's not wrong about that. And we've talked about before, is Dak going to be willing to embrace the role that Cooper Rush has maintained in this new model, right? It's complementary football. It's defense oriented. It's, you know, don't turn the ball over, take advantage of short field opportunities. And I always thought that Dak was an egoless guy. So I did not see him having a problem with it, especially since he did this in 2016 when he was a rookie. He was a starting quarterback as a rookie. But the offense was based on the offensive line and on Ezekiel Elliott. He played a complementary role, and they went 13-3 and won the division. So he's seen this work, and he wants to win. I think he's sincere when he says, I want to win more. In fact, he said, kind of where my head is now. I know how talented this team is. I know what we can be. It's not about me. It's about all of us. So I think, you know, when he talks about, hey, I was standing on the sideline. I was on the sidelines with this team. I've gone through the week with this team, even when I wasn't playing. And I see what we are. And I see what they need from me. And it's not 400 yards passing and three touchdown passes every week. And I have to be okay with that. And I think he will be.
Yeah. And I think he will be. And I think Jerry Jones is really kind of leaning into this as well. I now have Dak is the highest paid bus driving quarterback since Vinny Testaverde with the New York Jets when Parcells was there. Okay.
Well, I interviewed Jerry before the game, which,
oh yeah, that was getting a lot of attention,
which
yeah.
by the way, is the first time I've been here since 1989 when Jerry bought the team for the most part. And I have never done a pregame television interview on game day with Jerry until today.
And did you tell him that? Did you say, hey, Jerry, this
I'll
is
tell you what I told him was I let him pick the time and he said 10 o'clock. He showed up at 11:15. And when he showed up at 11:15, I said to Jerry, I said, I've told everybody here, my crew, I said two things to know about Jerry. He will be late, but he will make it worth the wait. And when I said that to Jerry, Jerry said, well, the second part of that is true. I don't know about that late part. The man is an hour and 15 minutes late, and he picked the time we were going to do the interview. But anyway, so that was
a, I think he was – I love that about you because you said it, and it is funny. And I also know Jerry, in rare moments, can be a little sensitive, and that bugged him. He didn't like hearing that he was late. He, you know, I'm a punctual man. I don't like, he didn't like, I'm
that's
right. He didn't like you called him out for being late.
Well, anyway, to the point we were discussing, I asked him about all of that, about Dak, you know, fitting into this new sort of winning formula that's been created, whether it was in the offseason or it was by necessity because Dak was out on the lineup early in the season for so long. And I mentioned that, you know, hey, you guys led the NFL in scoring at 31 points a game last year. And now you're down to 17.3. Do you look at it like Dak can significantly change that and make it better, you know, make it improve that? And he said, what we've learned is sometimes you can score the most points in the season and not have enough in a playoff game. And so...
Oh, yeah. Let's do it a different
Let's
recipe.
Let's try something different.
Yeah.
Let's try to be more balanced. Let's try to protect our defense. Let's try to let our defense win the game for us. So I think that's the philosophy that they're attempting right now. And it's worked more often than it's not.
Now, did you tell him that, I mean, even though this was the first time in whatever that is, like 30 years, he's done that he was doing it for the Doomsday podcast?
I couldn't figure out a way to hold my microphone and my phone up in a way that didn't look odd on TV. So
come on, Ed.
We
need this.
You got Jerry.
You have a producer. They could send it. I did get Jerry. And Vista with Jerry after the ball game. And I got about 6 good minutes with Jerry. And I always have friends who see this on TV because I'm for some reason always stand right behind him. And they were sending shots of the weird Mosley looks as I'm behind Jerry. Here is our visit with Jerry Jones immediately following today's 24-6 win over Detroit.
That was really a tough ball game, if you will, Will. And they gave us everything that we could hope wanted or not would want. But that drive in the third quarter, I think, really showed a lot of resolve and but really showed the will of the team. And so I'm proud of them. I'm proud for Dak. I'm proud of the guys that made the plays. Williams to come in there and have his game that he had. The young players, they get to feel it. They know they can do it. We're going to build from that. So really an outstanding game, a tough game. Who would have thought a game would be that tough and that score end up like it did? But that's where it happened.
What do you think about Dak?
Oh, I thought Dak did. I thought the way Dak played was the team. The team had that. They we had tough competition out there. We were they were making it hard for us any way you wanted to measure it. And I thought we hung in there. We, at the end of the day, you probably can say we depend on the turnovers. But what you could say is that that defense, the skills of the defense prevail. Let us make those big plays. Let us make those turnovers. And then Turpin really provided us some, really, if you will, I think you just know it's there. When's it coming? And so that helps you in a football game.
There were a couple moments early on in the game where Dak seemed to kind of force it into double coverage, triple coverage. Do you think he was maybe just a little bit pressing in his first game back? Or what would you make of that early moment in that
game? Yeah, I don't really know. He certainly could give you an answer on that. I agree with you. It was in harm's way there two or three times. But, boy, what I did see him do is get that ball down there and get it in the way that you could have those 20-plus yard plays, and we did. And Dak made the difference in that area today. Okay, guys, we'll get in there and get to them. That's where you want to get their story. They did a great job.
Jerry, didn't see you guys do anything before the trade deadline?
I don't see that. I really don't. Usually, as I mentioned, that comes your way. That phone's got to be ringing. I don't see that. I would always, if it's of the magnitude of getting Deion Sanders on this team, then I'll grab that phone. But seriously, I don't think, don't expect to have trade, but that doesn't mean that you can't get the call and respond within seconds. But we carry it all there, and if it's the right one, I'll let them know in about
what can you say
2 minutes.
What can you say about five takeaways in that second half?
Well, I'll just start with Williams. I'll start with the way they were made. They were made with a relentless belief that they were going to get a play or get a chance to make a play, both as a unit and as individuals, and it paid off for them. And they got their opportunities and took advantage of them.
You've been a part of some great defenses here. I mean, is this at the top of the list, what you're seeing from the defense week in and week out?
Well, I know this. I don't know that I've seen a defense that is influencing the team any more than this one has, even the very best ones. Now, there's a high skill level out there. There's a high competence level. They're well coached. It's a mix of some veterans and a lot of young players, and they're getting more confidence and, frankly, getting better technically every day. This defense, they're us up on.
Is that why you're excited about what Dak can do with the offense going, you know, as you continue on in the season, because the defense is playing at such a high level and it portends to what you guys can do as a team going forward?
Yeah, I think Dak, as you saw, it's a challenge to get that ball on the 2-inch line with 99 and 9-10 yards to go. Although Dak figured out a way and made the play. But I don't believe there's any question that one of the complementary things we talk about with an outstanding defense is that you just you can be a little more risky, if I'll say, on offense when you know that defense is playing at the level it's playing, and you can count on them stopping them or getting possibly like today getting a turnover. Yeah, there's no question that it's going to make us better than we would have been with the quality of defense we're playing.
Just prior to that sequence that you're talking about, Parsons made a play there at the 1 foot line to make the tackle that led to that first fumble. You mentioned relentlessness. Is that kind of a good example of what you're talking about?
Well, I saw him that last sack that he got. It was just amazing. The sack he got was an amazing display of his relentless effort. And then so was when he was rushing and went back and saw that it was a screen and went back and covered that guy and really made the tackle downfield too. You can't say enough about his motor, just his relentlessness, his competes, we call it. Well, there's all kinds of word for it. But obviously he's such a really uniquely outstanding talent. But he's also got one of the greatest he's got great stamina, and I'm telling you, he's got a lot of the qualities that I've never seen that many in the same person.
All right, there he was, Jerry Jones, after the after the game, and Jerry was, I think probably Jerry, like a lot of people, was a bit concerned at halftime, but loved what the defense was able to do, and that Dak kind of rallied, and it wasn't easy for Dak, and maybe they can sort of, you know, think, hey, he worked through it, and fortunately they were playing the Lions, and the Lions are one of the few teams capable. I mean, Ed, think about that. They won this game 24-6. I think as we get further removed from this game, it'll be like, ah, it's a pretty easy win over the Lions. They were sitting there, and they should have been up 13-10. What was that, early in the – I mean, that was like right around the fourth quarter starting.
Before the Noah Brown fumble?
No, no, no. When Detroit, you know, didn't fumble at the 1 yard line. Oh, I mean, okay. That was going to put them up 13-10,
right,
at the start of the fourth quarter. Right. I mean, I'm just saying, it was not the commanding that it sounds. 24-6, Cowboys ended up,
yeah, the whole first half.
Correct.
But you know, they're in a good spot, and I thought maybe you'd want to go over some specifics of Dak's performance. You know, the ESPN research department provides us with really unique stats, and I don't think they mind me sharing some here. So in terms of aggressiveness, Dak averaged 10.5 air yards per attempt. That's the highest by a Cowboys quarterback this season. And while he threw downfield frequently, he was 14 for 14 on passes of 10 or fewer yards.
Okay.
He completed 4 out of 7 passes into a tight window. That's the most such completions by a Cowboys quarterback this season. Cooper Rush, by comparison, completed only 33% of those kinds of passes when he was playing. A lot of play action. Dak went 11 for 12 for 121 yards and a touchdown off play action. His 92% completion rate was the second best in a game with at least 10 play action attempts. So there they are, using the running game to create success in the passing game. Third down continues to be an issue. The Cowboys are one of the worst teams in the league on third downs. That's part of the problem in terms of scoring. They needed on average less than 5 yards, 4.9 yards on average,
yeah,
on third down today. That's their lowest in a game in week four since last season. But they still only went 3 for 9, and Prescott was 1 of 2 with 2 sacks in those situations on third down passing situations. So still a lot of work to be done.
But yeah, I think at some point today, I was watching a graphic on CBS pop up from the press box that they were like 29th in the league, or, I mean, you know, just a real struggle on that. It is, by the way, and before we send it to our stretch plays with Glenn Stretch Smith, I did want to tell you Lakeside Roofing, also another great sponsor of ours. A family-owned full-service roofing company serving the Dallas-Fort Worth area, serving the Metroplex with the highest quality roofing products paired with the highest quality workmanship. Lakeside Roofing Company. That's LakesideRoofCo.com, LakesideRoofCo.com, and on Twitter, at LakesideRoofTX. And I tell you what, if Marable Homes, when they're out and about doing their things, when people ask them, who would you use for a roofing company, they say Lakeside Roofing. And by the way, Ed, we had a storm, about 6 months ago or something. And I'm kind of thinking about perhaps a new roof. And who do you think I'm going to use? But Lakeside Roofing. It's going to be beautiful.
I would just buy a brand new home from Marable Homes if I was you.
Well, if I had your money, I would. I would do that. If I had
somebody's
several,
got my money.
If I had several,
lost
homes,
about 30% of it in the last few months.
It's okay. It's okay. Just hang in there. We'll get it. We'll cycle through right. These things, and you'll
I'll just keep working.
You'll be fine. Oh yeah, there's no reason to stop at this point. It is
by choice.
It is time for stretch plays with Glenn Stretch Smith.
Stretch, kind of a weird game. Cowboys win going away 24-6, but quite honestly, did not dominate this game really. Until the very end, and this thing could have gone the other way at one point. And but I did want to say the Cowboys have made a big deal out of wanting to play lean on their defense and run in game, and then have Dak kind of go along accordingly. Dak returns. I found it interesting that Dak, after the game, felt like on some of those early throws, maybe he was feeling too good, like he was a little overconfident. What did you see from Dak in his return after coming back from that surgically repaired thumb?
Yeah, I mean, you go and you look at the first play of the game, and the Cowboys run a play-action boot, you know, back to his left, and he can say he felt confident, and that's fine. But I can tell you one thing. I mean, the simplest of things, which would be to turn and point your left shoulder at the target so you can feed the nose of that football into that route. I mean, it was bad looking. It really, when I started looking at the first, you know, 3.5 quarters and watching him, and then I thought, okay, you know, how am I going to be? I knew this would be something that, you know, you guys would want. Okay, tell us about Dak. I mean, I really felt like this was the dress rehearsal preseason game. That's how I felt. That was how I felt he played. That's how I felt he missed really some throws that were easy throws to make. Now he made some throws, and you know, we'll go back to our, you know, Randy Galloway days. You know, we don't want to style point wins, that we don't want to do this and that. But the bottom line is, this is a quarterback that needs to play, and he needed today's game, and he needs next week's game. And then maybe I'll buy into the fact that, okay, he's, you know, he feels like he's ready, and we're ready to do the things that we need to do. The other thing is that, if you expect him to be a drop back guy, you're going to expose your left tackle. I think that got exposed some. You're going to expose your right tackle. That got exposed some. So I think there's a lot of things that go into it. But when you start thinking about just the fact of how he threw the football, how the football came out of his hand, you know, about like you would expect someone who hasn't played in a while, that's kind of how it looked. It felt rusty. It looked at times ugly. And then there were times when obviously he's accurate with the football and can put the football in some of those inside option throws to Schultz where you're like, okay, you can tell they've been working at it a lot together. So, I mean, it was about what I expected. It was a rusty, kind of a lethargic, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling feel through three quarters of the football game. And I don't think, if you're honest with yourself, I don't think you can say anything except good for him. He did take a few shots and, he was able to, get back up from those. And we got a long way to go with this quarterback. I'm going to tell you that. This is not going to be one of those deals that is going to be like riding a bicycle and he's just going to jump back up there and get to pedaling. I think if you expect that, you're going to set yourself up for failure.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there was some times last season when you sort of insinuated maybe that, you know, the speed of the game, you know, getting back to the speed of the game is tough for some people, and maybe that hit him a little bit today. But it'll be fascinating. I mean, there was a span of the game, like in the second half, where he was 10 of 11, so he got on a little bit of a roll. And I agree with you. There were a couple throws he made downfield where you're like, okay, he can do that. Cooper Rush can't really do that. But for the most part, they're not going to try to ride him. They're going to try to, you know, do this with a run game. Now, talk to me about the O-line in the run game. You know, speaking of one of those plays, he ran the option and he did a good job at least of making the defender kind of respect him. And he made that pitch. And I think that went for a big play. I think that might've been the one to Pollard. What'd you think of what'd you think of the O-line in the run game?
Well, I mean, this O-line is still a work in progress. Steele, Smith, They still need a little bit of that help on the edge. They need that tight end over them. They need that chip out of the backfield from the back. I thought they did an okay job. You know what you've got in the center and the right guard. I mean, you know that's really where you're gonna, you know, that's where you're gonna have to make your hay. But I thought the offensive line, you know, really got a little bit exposed from, again, when they have those open ends. And I get it, Hutchinson is a, you know, he's a first round pick and a first player pick, and I got all that. But the bottom line is, they've got to continue to grow and get better. And this offense as a whole has to continue to get better. I think you don't hear me very often criticize play calls, but I don't like a third and one where you feel like you got to get outside with the football. There were two times in the game, the second drive of the game, it's third and one, and they run outside zone to Zeke and lose two. And then later on in the game, they've got Zeke and Pollard in there, and they ran the fullback dive the one time with Zeke in there at fullback, and then they came back, faked the fullback dive, and tried to run a little pitch out there, and it got stoned. And this team coming in, I think they were 6-6 or 7-7 in third and one situations. I don't like getting away from things that work. I think this is a downhill blocking, downhill running team. Do you have to get the football on the perimeter at times? Absolutely you do. But I just didn't see a lot of what I would want to see at this stage of the season out of both tackles. I thought both tackles gave you a really below average a job of what they needed to do. I think the running backs are both good backs. I think the tight ends are serviceable. And overall, Matt, I think the receivers are still, I think Gallup is still kind of trying to get his feet up under him. You saw Noah Brown make the catch on the slant and he got flipped, and hey, they're going to fumble the ball some, and I get that. But overall, when I look at this, and I don't like doing this, I kind of offensively gave them an overall one grade. And it's a U. It's ugly. That was an ugly offensive performance. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to style point it. We're just going to say it felt like a preseason game where they kind of went out there and just kind of flopped around and made a few plays when they needed to.
Wow. Not even an incomplete or a D, but a U, which is a rare grade from Stretch, but we'll go with that. Stretch, on the other side of the ball, obviously, no matter how bad a team is, if you hold somebody to 6 points, you got to respect it. Now, we can question Detroit not challenging that touchdown and then fumbling, of course, at the 1 yard line. Could have been up 13-10 if that had gone their way and they had ended up with a touchdown. Let me ask you this. I thought Sam Williams made some big plays in this game. And then, of course, Micah, he's the one who caused that Detroit to have to run that play from the 1 yard line that they ended up fumbling on, because he tracked that play down and made it on Hockenson. What'd you make of the D-line, in particular, the outside play of Micah Parsons and Sam Williams today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just when you look at them defensively, they feed off of the defensive coordinator. He trusts them. I mean, you know, you got the big interception by Diggs. He broke on a slant one time that was really good looking. You watch Parsons. Yeah, I love how he chased him down. I love how he chased down a screen one time too. Mm-hmm. He read and recognize that the offensive line's kind of trying to get you up the field and release. And I mean, he puts his foot in the ground and just sprints and goes and gets him. Those are the kind of things to me that rubs off on other players. And I really believe, then you see a guy like Sam Williams, you see Odighizuwa, you see all these guys that are kind of feeding off of that guy who's playing 100 miles an hour. I think defensively, it concerns me a little bit with Lewis. I think he is a really good nickel, kind of inside. He can go inside. He can play outside some. That injury concerns me. you know, does it concern me a little bit that they still played Brown some off and they were able to convert on that big third and, I don't know, 14 or 15 where they threw the curl right in front of him? Mm. You know, that those are the kind of things that I think will get cleaned up, and those are things that you can clean up through the film. I saw Wilson come off the edge one time, and, I mean, he dipped and ripped his shoulder and was able to make the sack. There's so many things defensively that you can sit here and you can point to and say, look at this. Hey, look at that. Hey, look at how they're playing. Hey, look at what they're doing. Look at schematically how they're doing things. And I just think everything leads to this is how this football team is going to have to win. They're going to have to win. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. They're going to have to win defensively. And then I'm not going to go without saying, I mean, I thought that kid made a hell of a return on that punt return. It didn't turn into any points. They went three and out. But, I mean, great punt return. I love what, you know, what Fossil's doing with him. I mean, they allow him to kind of take his time. You know, a lot of times those punt returners, they want him to just hit it. But he kind of takes his time, and then he, you know, he kind of picks and sees what he likes, and then boom, he goes. I think special teams, you're getting great effort out of them. You're getting an extraordinary effort out of your defense. I mean, and that's how this team is really going to have to win. They're not going to be able to go out and score 40 points a game. They're just not built like that. And they're going to have to rely on the fact that they get critical stops. And whether they should or shouldn't have challenged that, it's a critical stop in the game. And so, for that reason, all the way across the board, defensively, I got to give this team an A. And I tell you something, you can say, well, they came out a little flat. Hey, you're not going to come out every week, you know, geeked up and jacked up. Some weeks you got to come out and you just got to take care of your business. And I felt like this is one of those weeks where they came out, played hard, gave you the effort, and they took care of their business and they won the football game. And that's really what it's all about.
All right. Overall, Stretch, as they get ready to play Chicago and then go into the bye, and then, of course, Green Bay on the other side. What I hear from you is kind of a wait and see attitude to see if Dak can kind of get it going and get this thing rolling. Overall, you feel pretty good about the team?
I do. I mean, I think this football team can go and catch Philadelphia. Now, I'm going to say that, Matt, but you got to stay healthy. I mean, I think Lewis could be a tough deal. This team needs to continue to stay healthy, and they've been pretty healthy defensively. They're going to give you a chance week in, week out. And if the offense, and I mean, I have no reason to believe that Dak can't continue to, you know, get up with the speed of the game and, you know, they continue to run the ball. Got to continue to get better on the offensive line. If they do that, they'll have every opportunity at the end of the year to go catch Philadelphia. I really do believe that.
All right. It is Glenn Stretch Smith with his Stretch Plays. And then you can watch Stretch on WFAA Channel 8. That's the ABC affiliate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at 10:30 this evening on Sports Special. Stretch, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mosley, have yourself a great evening. Sorry to bother you tonight.
Let's go have a great Sunday night and a solid Monday. All right, there was Glenn Stretch Smith with Stretch Plays. And, Ed, as we kind of wrap things up here from AT&T Stadium, the blowers are going in the background as only they can. And, again, what a beautiful suite that we're in here. The Jim and Sally Nation always supporting our efforts out here and always enjoy doing it right out here from the stadium.
Side by side.
Here we are on my iPad. Just so many fun things are coming together today. Ed, let's talk about Giants didn't win today. The Commanders won as well.
They beat Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah,
so with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Heineke.
Yeah, so the older quarterbacks in the league struggling, Rodgers and Tom Brady. And so we kind of like to lay it out for you a little bit about what's going on
in the NFC East. Cowboys improve to 5-2, and Ed, they'll get ready for a big Chicago Bears showdown, and then we'll have a break,
a bye,
as we call it. This thing's kind of setting up pretty well. I mean, there's really
go to Green Bay.
Yes.
It's going to be a big game for Mike McCarthy. It's going to be a big media game.
It's a big doomsday game. Yeah. I could see us all going out there.
I'm already assigned these next two Cowboy games, so you'll be happy to know that.
Oh, good.
I'll be with the team. I can't imagine people watch tomorrow night because the Bears are playing against the Patriots tomorrow night. And the only person worthy of any kind of advertising to get people to watch this game is Bill Belichick. The Bears, of course, are coached by Matt Eberflus, first-time head coach, former Cowboys defensive assistant under Rod Marinelli.
We like him.
We like Matt Eberflus. I've actually played golf with him a time or two. I'm not
what kind of golfer is he?
He's a good golfer.
There's a bit of a name drop.
He's a good golfer.
I like that moment. Yeah.
What I'm thinking of, though, is
who drives it longer between the two of you?
He would.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a former actual athlete. I mean,
you played college tennis.
He's got a little bit of a stockier build, and he's a strong man, younger, you know, better. He's a better athlete than me.
But enough about me.
You asked. Yeah. Anyway, the thing I keep thinking about when I ruminate about the Bears and the Cowboys is Justin Fields. What are the Cowboys going to do to Justin Fields? Like, Justin Fields, the Bears have the fewest passing attempts. They're like under 200 passing attempts. They don't throw the ball at all because they don't trust their quarterback. What's Dan Quinn going to do to that offense when it comes here next week? What is he going to do to this young quarterback? It's going to be horrific. It's going to be historic what's going to happen.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the Cowboys ought to win handily and be, 6-2 going into their break and going to play the Packers?
I'm trying to think if a young quarterback has ever bucked the odds and come in here and destroyed the Cowboys. RG3 did it, mm-hmm. his rookie season. Matthew Stafford, as a young quarterback, came in here and kind of showed up the Cowboys. But yeah, this thing could get ugly for Fields. We've seen it go the wrong way on quarterbacks over the years, and then beat up on opposing quarterbacks. This will be interesting. But
you know, actually, I remember, you know, reading about the Bears, reading some of our research. And the interesting thing is like, despite all the sacks he's taken and despite how ineffective Justin Fields has been throwing the football and how limited those opportunities have been, the Bears are like ranked second in the league in pass rush, pass block win rate. They've actually protected the guy great, but he still takes all kinds of sacks and doesn't complete passes and throws interceptions. So that's what Dan Quinn and Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and all those guys have to look forward to next week.
We used to think about – you made me think of something. Like we used – there's like running quarterbacks. We don't always think of like taking a lot of sacks. And there was some quarterback in sort of that genre who did take a lot more sacks than you would think, kind of like Fields. And Vic might have been that guy. It seemed like Vic had some years with Atlanta where he actually took a huge amount of sacks. Russell Wilson in the past has taken quite a few sacks.
More than anybody. Cam Newton
took a lot of sacks. So they do end up, yeah, you're right. Cam, even that MVP leading up
season.
To that, he ended up taking a lot of sacks. We will see how they perform. Wouldn't it be something if we're just back together again?
Why wouldn't we be?
Only if the Cowboys, but I really, you know, it's great to be out here. Great to see everybody and be a part of this thing. After spending time at Baylor Homecoming, a big Baylor victory over the Kansas Jayhawks as the Bears improved to 4-3. And now the Cowboys improved to 5-2. Ed, it's been enjoyable. Great to be with you. Good day. You've put in a strong day. But isn't it fun, even though you got to be up early, on a day you're going to – but it's way better than those, 7 o'clock starts when you get to the deal at, 9 or
– I still have to do the morning shows. Oh. Like, our show times don't change. Only the kickoff times change. So,
yeah,
if the game's a night game – like, last week, this is the third game I've covered in 8 days. I covered the Cowboys at the Eagles, And on Thursday, I came back and went to Arizona, and I covered the Saints at the Cardinals. And then I came here and covered this early kick, which was nice to have for all the reasons you just mentioned, getting the podcast out nice and early to everybody, being able to spend a little bit more time. But yeah, I mean, to have three games in 8 days is as many as really you can have, and to have two of them on the road and both of those at night makes it challenging.
It does, but it makes you invaluable to ESPN. It gives you lifetime status there. And also with the Doomsday podcast, we think highly of you. We continue to, as we continue to try to lock you up for the next few years. It is the Doomsday podcast. Our thanks to Frito Nation Productions, Mark Frito Friedman, who has been a stalwart lately, just continues to fight through all kinds of things. And it takes more than adversity to knock that guy down as he continues to do his thing. Ed, appreciate it. And we are going to sign off from AT&T Stadium. Blowers going in the background. Chiefs and 49ers getting it on in the background. And we will say goodnight to you and see you next week as the Cowboys take on the Chicago Bears. For Ed Werder, Mark Frito Friedman, I'm Matt Mosley. Good night from Arlington, Texas.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.